Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Plunging gasoline costs caused U.S. consumer prices to drop in November, muting inflation across the entire economy. The Labor Department today says the inflation reading fell 0.3% last month. After prices were flat in October, gas costs plummeted 10.5% in November, the steepest decline in nearly 6 years. Core inflation, which excludes volatile energy and food prices, rose 0.1% in November. For the last year, overall inflation has risen 1.3%, while core inflation has increased 1.7%. The U.S. current account trade deficit widened slightly in the July-September quarter. The Commerce Department today says the deficit in the current account rose to $100.3 billion in the third quarter, up 1.9% from the revised $98.4 billion deficit in the April-June quarter. Chinese firms last week purchased as much as 900,000 tons of dry distiller's grains, a corn byproduct from the U.S. The fresh purchases come after imports from the U.S. almost stopped after Beijing imposed restriction on shipments of the product used as a feed ingredient. The China National Grain and Oils Information Center says the 15 cargoes are for December to March shipment. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 17,158, it's up 90 points. The NASDAQ 4570, up almost 23. The S&P 500 is 1984, it is up 12 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Weather conditions in Argentina will continue to be closely monitored as we move forward through this next two-week period because of a drying tendency that seems to be occurring on some very important corn and soybean production areas. That drier region includes southeastern portions of Cordoba and northwestern Buenos Aires, which is at the heart of some of the most important corn production country. The drier bias there will be temporarily eased by some rain coming up on Friday into Saturday. Rain totals may run up to 5 or 6 tenths of an inch during that period of time, which will buy a little bit of time for the region, but more dryness will come in as we go through the rest of the weekend and through a big part of next week. Another chance for rain will show up in that region about a week later on the following Friday and Saturday, which is the last one for the year in that particular region. The rest of Argentina will continue to see a timeliness of precipitation and favorable soil moisture will continue. I don't want to make the drier bias in the south sound critical at this point in time, but we do want to continue to monitor that region as the area does need to see a big soaking of rainfall. Temperatures in Argentina will turn quite cool over the weekend and into the early part of next week, and that cooler bias will help to conserve soil moisture so that there is no major stress for the majority of the crops that are suffering from low moisture. In northern Argentina, Paraguay, Uruguay, and Brazil, the environment is quite favorable for summer crop development and will continue that way through a big part of the next 2 weeks. We're expecting to see a regular occurrence of showers and thunderstorms occurring in those areas, and temperatures will be mostly in a seasonable range. We do expect a handful of locations in Brazil to perhaps get a little bit too wet, but it's not going to be a widespread problem. In the U.S., weather changes are coming up over the coming week to 10 days. Much colder air will seep into the middle of the country, and that will stimulate a large storm system that may end up occurring close to the Christmas holiday. A storm system of large size has been suggested by a couple of the computer weather forecast models today over the eastern portions of the Midwest and the middle and northern Atlantic coastal states, and that will likely take place anytime during the second half of next week and may linger into the following weekend. That could hamper travel into those areas, so plans ought to be made at this point in time to make adjustments to travel in that region if indeed that storm system comes about. In the meantime, the eastern Midwest will likely be influenced by that particular storm potential, and we may see some much colder temperatures, windy conditions, and perhaps rain changing to snow taking place as we move closer to the holiday. There's still plenty of time for the storm system to change, and we'll continue to monitor it rather closely over these next few days. In the meantime, minor weather disturbances are expected to impact the Midwest, and we'll expect the first disturbance to start to influence the region later tonight and tomorrow. Most of the precipitation is going to be light, but it will occur as a wintry mix coming out of portions of Kansas and Nebraska into parts of southern Iowa and Illinois, and eventually into parts of southwestern Indiana. The system is expected to diminish as it comes to the east and will not likely encounter any substantial accumulations of ice or snow, but there will be enough that travel will be hindered for a little while. Drier weather bias conditions will prevail after that until we get into Saturday, when another disturbance is likely to impact a part of the Ohio River Valley. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support comes from Country Financial, hosting information sessions for farmers throughout the state of Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates on both the federal crop insurance program and the Farm Bill, as well as how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. More information is at countrycrop.com.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter March wheat, 657 and a quarter. Now a half, up 2 3/4. Soft March wheat is 626 3/4, up 3.5. March corn is trading 405 1/4, down 3/4. May, 413 3/4, down 3/4. July, 420, down 1. December, 429 1/4, down 1.5. January soybeans, 1018 1/4, down 5 1/4. March, 1026 3/4, down 4.5. May, 1033, down 3.5. July, 1038 1/4, down 3.25. January soybean meal, 355.70, down 90. January soybean oil, 3165, down 12. December live cattle and January feeder cattle and February lean hogs are all locked limit down this morning. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Dave, and you certainly bring up a good point. Some extreme volatility has entered our grain and livestock and energy worlds in the last week or so.
And so the question is, where does the free fall stop on the livestock side?
You know, we're getting so disconnected away from the real cash feeder cattle market and live market that in a liquidation phase, we're going to end here I guess before Christmas time you would think that would happen, but just like crude oil, it's a free fall. Who wants to catch that falling knife? You know, we're considering some strategies maybe in the livestock, some inexpensive call options for the day that these markets return to kind of reality with the cash market.
Let's look at the grain side of the equation and begin with wheat. Wheat is, again, showing some strength today. Just before we came on, we got a story suggesting that Russia may be curbing some grain exports. But but as you read into it, it doesn't appear they're doing much of anything.
Now, I think when we look at that situation, I think it's a situation that is probably deteriorating over there continuously. I think when we look at Russia, they've got some weather issues with this crop. Crude oil, they can continue to pump out because they got a lot of it, and even though the price goes down on the wheat side of the equation, it's more finite. So I believe they're probably going to eventually slow down what they can sell. They're going to need it for their own use, and it's pretty much, again, in turmoil over there, and volatility certainly exaggerates things in this situation.
As the ruble continues to lose to the dollar and oil continues to plunge, Western sanctions, right now they're in a difficult spot.
Absolutely, and you know, they kind of created their own problem. We could probably throw the Ukraine in there. One of the positives to the corn market this week was ideas that they're not going to be able to meet some of their export commitments, and we kind of always thought that might happen, but now it's really come into reality. Maybe that's the reason China decided to accept some of those traits they were rejecting, knowing that they're eventually going to have to come to U.S. for supply.
Turn our attention to soybeans. What are we seeing there today?
You know, kind of a quiet market. It had some real attention in the previous couple weeks with big Chinese purchases. That's kind of calmed down as we head toward the holiday. I think one thing farmers should look at here, we've had a good rally in these markets. I kind of look for the profit-taking to come into the grain market as we move towards Christmas. So rewarding some of these rallies, if you got some cash to move, may be a good thing to do.
Quickly, new crop sales for November next year?
Above $10, we kind of like doing that, but we like a flexible way of doing that with a put option. Same thing on the corn side if you get into the 440 to 450 range.
Thank you much, Chuck.
Thank you, Dave.
Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It is now 9:01 Central Time.